It is time to bring in David Tarachuk with the Media Beat. You can find David here on a Friday, also rebroadcast on the weekends, also our midday news section.
He's always good.
He's always good no matter when he... It's like a rotisserie of information, ladies and gentlemen. Let's spin the rotisserie and see if we have David on the spit. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I'm here with you.
Are you spitting?
Well, you know, I should say something absolutely right away. I only about our security as we have this conversation. I only ever use government-provided phones. So Chinese intelligence cannot possibly be listening in on my conversations. Got that? That story that they are listening in is so wrong.
It's fake news.
Actually, I noticed the Chinese government suggested that
they'd just get the what's it called?
Would be better off if you got a Chinese phone called the Huawei.
And the thing about Huawei is they are known for having basically, shall we say, head issues, head security issues. So they just recommended that the. They also, I also noted with interest that the Chinese called it, quote, fake news, unquote.
There's no a sort of single Chinese character for the concept of fake news.
There will be. what?
Oh, and by the way, do you see how nice I'm behaving?
I do, but I also see, and this is just, this is embarrassing, I think. Just in terms of a media, I mean, I understand that you have, I understand that your responsibility is to first and foremost blat and clarion your position and what you believe and whatever side you're on. And I find that absolutely repulsive because it doesn't do anything to promote an understanding. So you've got, you know, basically one channel mocking something and the other channel saying, oh, this is good. And if people are taking their information, anybody I know, I won't say anybody, but most people I know don't have the wherewithal to sample both. They've, you know, they're already in their camps. So there is a massive middle that is being underserved beyond belief. And yet these self-congratulatory, I don't know, any company that can pay Megyn Kelly $69 million to not come to work, with all due respect, is like there must be enough money sloshing around to improve that if anyone were so inclined.
Sure, if media organizations really wanted to invest in objectivity, they've certainly got the wherewithal to do it. But what they're finding, of course, and what they have found over the last 15, 20 years, is that objectivity isn't a particularly cherished commodity.
Right.
But partisanship seems to do the trick in terms of building up. It's not unlike politics. That's one very effective way to build up a base. And if all you're interested in is the strength of your base, the power of numbers, which, of course, if you rely on advertising, that's very important to you, then, of course, you're going to do that building up of the base. And it's so, I mean, it doesn't lead to objective journalism, very much the opposite. And I rather agree with you that just as the public seems to be in large part driven to the edges, i.e. tribalism separates us with this huge gap in the middle, the same is happened. In fact, it's synergistic, I think. It's exactly the same with the media. I don't know, it's a bit like the chicken and the egg. I'm not totally sure which comes first. But, of course, they reinforce each other, those separations, those tendencies towards opposing tribalisms.
And the other problem, I mean, well, not problem, I believe you're absolutely, your assessment is measured and, your assessment, please forgive me, is fair, balanced, measured, deliberate, and correct. But the bigger problem is, and I don't know, when I say problem, it's not a problem because these groups, these outfits are minting money in the same way that, you know, politically speaking, I am not really interested in hearing candidate A call candidate B a pinhead. and vice versa. It doesn't
a lot of that going on this week.
Well, of course. I mean, we were 2 weeks. In fairness, at least it's October. You know, we're.
It's timely, yes.
Yeah.
And of course, so much of this pure, sheer abusiveness goes on year round, of course. And indeed, at the very pinnacle of political discourse, i.e., whenever the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, opens his mouth or opens his Twitter account on his iPhone, government issued iPhone, of course, no other kind of iPhone could he possibly use, then, of course, you have exactly that same expression of total imbecilic insult dog type.
But here's the problem with that. Okay, it really creates elitism, and that's just it feeds it, it perpetuates it, and it's really not okay. Because here's the story, as far as I can tell, the regular people who other people rely on to go about their days and business. Let's just call them the unsung, the people that are most taken for granted by the various people that you see on TV. In other words, you see someone on TV, whoever it is. You do not see all of the people that go into getting them on TV, whether it's the person who takes care of their kids or cleans their house or takes the cat to the vet or gives them coffee or pretties them up or you don't see any of that. All of those people that you don't see are just, I don't want to say just, but are very much trying to make a living wage so that they can take care of their kids and their lives and improve their lot. And they are really used to being ignored. And so what is happening is you've got two sides essentially talking over these people. And I know that that's the model. It's the business model. It's the political model. But with all respect, it's hooey. It's nonsense. Doesn't work. And all it ends up doing is expanding the so-called divide or tribalism. When you get right down to it, most people want the same thing, a little bit of running water and the ability to keep the lights on and some food.
Sure.
And,
this
isn't, oh, great, we're all, this is just, practically speaking, if anyone wants to be responsible or actually understand what's going on, the first thing is, it's like any program. First you have to acknowledge there is a problem. Now, no one's even close to that in terms of media or advertisers, let's just say, or even politics.
Well, I don't know, Jill. I mean, I think it's true that the well-resourced have always had conversations amongst themselves, opposing and, more convivial, at the expense, or at least while excluding pretty well the under-resourced. I mean, that's a sort of regrettable but unavoidable fact of life over the centuries. Now, how much the elite is separated from the public, if you like, has varied over time. And of course, it's pretty clear from all surveys conducted in this country that it's increasing and sharpening that distinction over the last 20, 30 years, and it's a very large fact of political and public life. There's no getting away from it. But there are media organizations which are concerned to deliver reliable information to the hungry, the public, if depending on how hungry they are, of course, will determine whether they actually take in the objective information often on offer. I don't think everyone's divided. It would make no sense at all and not jive with any of our own everyday observations that everyone's going to divide into those two opposing camps that go on at the elite level, what you describe as the elite level. But certainly there's a great need. There's a great hunger for it. It's not universal amongst the public. We know that. An awful lot of people will just settle for the lowest common denominator. But an awful lot of people do want good information and reliable information. And there are, mercifully, I'm not just being partisan to my own profession here, but there are reliable, objective journalists in the middle still doing their job. And in these times when it's more and more difficult to do that, I think they need applauding.
And I would fully and completely applaud them. What I would like to see very much is editors and others, you know, get some of that information out, you know, more broadly. That's all. Basically, what I'm saying is, I suspect there's a hunger, just a legitimate interest in having decent information. But I don't know how. We've been doing Robin Hood Radio for 10 years, and it is a nonprofit in the truest sense of the word. As a matter of fact, if they've developed never will be profit, I can pretty much assure. That we will be leading that field. But that isn't to say that there aren't a lot of people in that don't benefit on some level from, you know, some of the information that we make available. So I understand that if you're trying to do a profit-based, then the best you can sort of have is a segment or two where the very hardworking people who are out there actually wearing their shoes out. And, you know, there are so many more. There are so many more people out there actually going to look and see. So that's fantastic. It's just whether what they're looking or seeing is more appealing than, you know...
There is this notion of engagement. More and more people are actually being reached and are interacting with the suppliers of information. We know that. That's one of the benefits of the digital revolution. But whether they're picking up more information and more reliable information is highly questionable. Because, as we're talking about the tribalism, the partisanship of so much of the originating media.
Right, which brings us back, you know, not to be circular, but that's the interesting part, and how you work.
Sure, how do we break out of this? It is a vicious cycle.
Absolutely.
And it's difficult. I think those of us who want to try and preserve the sense of being a legitimate and overwhelming imperative to be clear, factual, helpful, supportive of the democratic process by providing the best information. It's hard not to feel outnumbered or outgunned, at least in terms of resources, by the partisanship and the tribalism of those parts of the elite media which find it more financially beneficial to go downstream, to go to Michelle Obama's phrase, to go down.
Right, go low.
No.
It's go low. But then,
when they go low, we should, and then try and stay high. But
of course, then you've got Jeffrey Holder.
It's not so easy when you're so outnumbered and outgunned.
Quite right. Now, apropos actual stories, and you know, big distraction from the phones and the parcels. But just before
yes, parcels, bombs, apparent bombs.
The apparent bombs
sent as parcels and being blamed by that president, that self-same president of the United States, on the media and the preaching civility. And blaming the media for the incivility that can lead to bombs being sent or apparent bombs being sent. That's an interesting notion.
It is a very interesting notion, but again, depending on where you are deriving your where one is getting one's information, you could see where that might be resonating. Just because
nothing is said by this president that he doesn't know resonates with the people he wants it to resonate with,
and the people that he wants it to resonate with, you know, if it resonates enough so that they go out and vote in 2 weeks, you know, that's going to be you know, it's actually the difference between being being a designer and being an executor. You know, in other words, it's just we will see what happens. You know,
sure, to quote the man himself again. Yes, we'll see what happens.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But what I would like
the phrase has slipped into such common usage now. It's hard not to see it. You know, as
let's see what happens. Well, unfortunately, yeah, my father used to say it. Let's see what happens. So I you know, I will say I come by it honestly. I will also say that I'm still just enraptured by Misunderestimate, which was a George, you know, I love that. I have used
but,
that.
But it's such an apt, it's such an apt notion now, especially when we look at this very effective, in some ways, chief executive. Yeah.
So I'm going to take his two predecessors. Let's see, 8-4. That was 12 years ago. Easy, but that works for me. But what I would like to go to for a second is a story that was being, let's just say, fully covered until these other events at the beginning of the week, and what's really going on in the background while the attention has shifted. And that is of the situation with Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and us, and Jamal Khashoggi.
Sure, and by now, as another week has passed, the Saudi Arabian government is acknowledging that it was premeditated, this
we've gone from
murder,
a fistfight,
as we now can see it to be, of Jamal Khashoggi. That's something of an admission, but where does it take us?
Exactly. And apropos, where does it take us and what's really going on? Because we do know that the the CIA director was there on Wednesday, Thursday. We know that stuff's going on. Although
CIA director has heard the tapes,
right?
Which is an interesting thing. The tapes, reportedly at least, contain the conversations of the of the killers and some of the victims' own voice too.
The tapes that were alleged tapes. You know.
Yeah.
So last week we were being very.
Whose existence have been denied several times over, and so on. Yes.
And so it's just you know, again, how does one? What happened to that? I don't want to say what happened to that story, but the fact is, you know, the spotlight is entirely on something else. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of stuff going on, shall we say?
Sure, it's all. I mean, there's much activity going on in Turkey, in Saudi Arabia, and all points around it. But you know, I mean, this is an implacable truth, which is never to be changed, or very, very rarely, except on times like 9/11. But for American media, given a choice between an overseas story and a domestic story, which one's going to get favored? It's always going to be domestic news whenever it comes to the American media. That's one of the big and fundamental differences you notice when you cross the Atlantic. Whenever I'm in Europe, news headlines are always, they've always got an international tilt. I say always, I mean, I'm exaggerating for argument's sake, but they predominate, put it that way. And in America, exactly the reverse is true.
And so we go. Are there any other stories that we should focus on, not focus on, but just mention in our 5 minutes of fame and fortune?
Fame for you, perhaps, fortune for neither of us.
Right.
Well, you know, one of the, well, you know, this is partly international, partly domestic, but the caravan of mainly Hondurans, but Salvadorians and Ecuadorians too, coming towards the United States border with Mexico, needs careful watching. And now, you know, Trump is reportedly considering executive action for sealing that border even more than it's sealed already. That's important.
I will mention that Michael Steele, who I am fond of, said something rather funny. Former RNC head Michael Steele said something. He said, "You know, actually watch, because by Wednesday the 7th, this is, you know, you're not going to hear as much about this. Wednesday, November 7th, it's not going to be as big a deal."
That applies to an awful lot of stories. They have a limited lifetime only because of the electoral concerns that they stir up in the first place. Yeah. And that's, you know, for many reasons, some stories only appear because it's election season.
And
not because they only happen in elections, roundabout elections. That's not the case. It's a matter of, you know, what stories will gain currency. Of course, if there's an electoral angle, journalists will naturally promote that story.
Yeah, sadly, I saw, and I'm glad that I did. You have a journalistic cat there?
Yeah. She has strong opinions on this matter, as you can hear.
I can see.
This is Keith.
We are always interested in the our canine, feline, equine, etc. brethren.
Not vox populi, but vox animali.
Absolutely. You know, there is. I have to say that in a lot of cases that they're not as easily swayed by opinion as they are by.
They're not easily swayed by anything.
Well, food.
That's one of their great virtues.
Food's good. Food is good, and it's one of the great virtues of having creatures around is it does tend to reorient you to the basics, which are, you know, like, got it, you know, food, shelter, water. And
sex sometimes.
Yeah, and a little bit of kindness. You know, it's just
yes.
It sounds, again, it sounds trite, but the fact is that it's those basics that there's a commonality to those, let's just say.
And speaking of trite, truisms are truisms because they're true.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, The Media Beat.
Thank you.